Hey there and welcome to Soul Church.
Our prayer is that this message encourages you wherever you may be in life.
You know, we've been hearing so many stories about what God is doing in people's lives, and we'd love to hear yours. So take a second and send your story to stories@soulchurch.com.
Thanks again for joining us today, and we hope that you enjoy the message. God bless. Well, we're going to jump into the Word right now.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to this. We've started a new series here at Chapel called Tripwires, and my husband has a word burning in his heart. And so, hey, make sure you've got your notepads and your pens, if you know what that is, or you can write notes in your phone or on your phone. But just make sure to lean into the Word of God, okay? Because it has the power to change us and transform our lives from the inside out. So, Pastor John, come on, let's give a warm welcome and thank you in advance to Pastor John Norman.
All right, everyone can sit down. I've got some of our staff on stage. They're going to be cheering us on, and some of our amazing academy students, soon to be graduates. 2011, I went for a run in Cape Town. My wife can't remember this, which I'm glad about. I went for a run, and about half an hour into the run, I was on the floor. Well, that's quite normal because I'm out of breath. But this time it wasn't because I was unfit. It's because I had fallen over a tripwire. And there was a wire, like a fishing wire, across the track. I didn't see it. And I went head over heels on the side of this mountain. I was on the floor. And I thought about that many years ago, about so many tripwires in our lives that the enemy sends to try and trip us up as believers. In fact, there's a scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. It says, "There is no advantage may be gained over us by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his devices." And so one of the enemy's ways he trips us up is he tries to catch us off guard. And over the last 3 months, the enemy has laid many traps for our world. COVID wasn't just a virus, it was a tripwire. It's now, you know, trapped people in fear. It's trapped people in their homes. It's trapped people in front of the media. You know, people are constantly watching for daily death counts. What is it? It's a tripwire, because he wants us to trip us into fear. And so last week, we kind of began this series with some of our staff. And I want you just to jot these eight things. This is from last week, but just these eight things down. I think it will help you. Things about tripwires. Number one is this: we never see them coming. Number two, we trip over more frequently when we're tired. Who knows, when you're tired, you trip over a lot more frequently. Number three, we have no idea the damage that a tripwire can cause in your life. Number four, we wish we all had hindsight. Whoever wishes they had a bit more hindsight, here's the good news. We don't have hindsight, but we do have discernment for the future. Number five is we will meet them again. There will be future tripwires in our lives. And number six, we have to learn the lessons. Number seven, got to allow people to help us with our blind spots. Often other people can see the tripwires before we can. Number eight, we've got to be committed to staying on the path. Even when we trip up, and let me tell you, Chantel and I, we trip up from time to time, we make mistakes, but we've got to have the determination to get up again and keep going. So I want to talk about a tripwire today that from time to time we all fall over. It was in the Lord's Prayer that Jesus said these words to his disciples. In verse 13, he said, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." I think temptation is a word we don't like talking about, really, because if we're honest, it can make us even feel dirty. But it's an area of our lives that we've got to deal with on a daily basis. And Jesus teaches us here in the Lord's Prayer to petition the Father, "Lord, lead me away from those things that tempt me." And before Jesus closes this beautiful prayer, he's like, "By the way, there's just something I need to remind you about. There's a tripwire. It's called temptation. And you're going to have to face it. Every one of you 12 disciples, you're all going to face it." And we know about Judas and Peter and Thomas and some of the tripwires that they fell over. And temptation comes, doesn't it, in so many different packages. On Sunday, we had the prayer drive-through, and it came in the package of a KFC bucket for me. A beautiful family in our church decided to drop off 3 or 4 buckets of fried chicken. And I was watching staff member after staff member fall and trip over into the bucket. My wife was leading the charge. We had a small get-together on Saturday in a garden for Rachel's 50th. I tripped over. It looked like a piece of cake. But it wasn't just one, it was 3 slices. It just kept coming at me and coming at me. But there's so many different tripwires when it comes to temptation. Often it's the opportunity to get ahead financially by dishonest means. Maybe it's online. Maybe Helga from Eastern Europe sends you an email. Maybe it's a number on your phone that you so desperately want to erase, but it keeps tripping you up. Maybe it's the temptation of hitting the snooze button instead of working out. Someone's going to switch off the TV right now. I can feel that. Don't do that. Maybe it's the tripwire of temptation when it comes to gossip. Because gossip makes us feel better about ourselves if we're talking about someone else's fault. Maybe it's the temptation to lie. I heard a story recently about a police officer who pulls a guy over for speeding, and they had this following exchange. The officer said, "May I see your driver's license?" The driver says, "I don't have one. It got suspended when I had my license taken away." The officer said, "May I see the registration papers for the vehicle?" The driver said, "It's not my car. I stole it." Officer said, "The car is stolen?" Driver, "That's right. Come to think of it, I think I saw the owner's registration documents in the glove box when I was putting my gun in there." Officer, "There's a gun in the glove box?" "Yes, sir. That's where I put it after I shot and killed the woman who owns this car and stuffed her in the boot." Officer, "There's a body in the boot?" Driver, "Yes, sir." Hearing this, the officer immediately called his senior officer. The car was quickly surrounded by police, and the senior officer approached the driver to handle the tense situation. "Senior officer, can I see your driver's license?" "Sure, here it is." "It was valid, senior officer. Whose car is this?" "It's mine," he said. "Here's the registration papers. The driver owned the car." The senior officer said, "Could you slowly open your glove box so I can see if there's a gun in it?" The driver said, "Yes, sir, but there's no gun in it." Sure enough, there was nothing in the glove box. The senior officer said, "Would you mind opening your boot? I was told that there was a body in there." The driver said, "No problem. The boot is opened. No body." The senior officer said, "I don't understand. The officer who stopped you said you told him you didn't have a license, you stole the car, you had a gun in the glove box, and there was a dead body in the boot." The driver said, "Yeah, I bet the liar told you I was speeding too." It was good, eh? Come on, that was good. That's one way to get out of a speeding ticket, Lee Daniels. Anyway, there we go. Sorry, it's a tough subject for Lee at the moment. Lee's just enrolled on a new course. You know, temptation, whether it's to eat some more dessert, dip in on the fried chicken, or twist the truth, or tell a lie. Temptation tripwires, they await us all daily. We've got to make a decision whether we indulge. I think temptation is opening the door for actually evil to approach our lives. That's why Jesus said, "Deliver us. Deliver us from evil." I think it was Charles Haddon Spurgeon who said this: "Temptation is not a sin, it's a call to battle." Every day we are called into battle in this area. It's a fight, it's a daily tug between our flesh and our spirit. I want to talk, that was the opener, it was pretty good. I want to talk in this second part of this series, tempted but not defeated. Tempted but not defeated, tripwires. And the Holy Spirit wants to guide us into all truth. Here's the thing. The Holy Spirit doesn't bring condemnation. It doesn't bring shame. It doesn't bring judgment. It helps us grow up. It helps us grow in Christ. Romans 8:1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus." So if you tuned in tonight and you feel flip, this is hard hitting. No, this is the Holy Spirit just highlighting some areas of our lives so we can become more like Jesus. God loves us so much. He doesn't want us to stay where we're at. How many times do we blame the enemy for our poor choices? You know, it was not the devil who made me do it. The devil did not make me eat the cake on Saturday night. I made that choice. The devil might have presented it in front of me. Okay, I'm kidding. But temptations, trip-wise, run all the way through the Bible. You think the very first story of the Bible started with Adam and Eve. What was that? A tripwire. Samson and Delilah. David and Bathsheba. Peter tempted. Tripped over three times and denied Jesus. Jesus himself was tempted many times, on three different fronts. Christ took away our sins, but he did not take away our ability to be tempted. Because with temptation, there's always more at stake than what we realize. Temptation is a bit like a credit card. It's fun until you get the bill. Has anyone ever spent on their credit card and then realized at the end of the month, actually, that wasn't as fun as I first thought it was? And when temptation comes, I think all we see is what's in front of us right now. We don't see what's in front of us in the future. It's like watching a movie. Have you ever been watching a movie and this beautiful girl, she gets involved with this guy, and we all know he's the bad guy, but she cannot see it. And we're all screaming at the TV, "Don't do it! Don't get in his car!" So easy, isn't it, to see it in the movies? So easy for us to see in everyone else's lives, but not be able to see it in our own life. There's always three things at stake with temptation. When we're faced with the tripwire of temptation, there's three things at stake. I want you to write these things down. Number one is my future. It's personal. Jeremiah said, "I know the thoughts and the plans I have towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." You know what the enemy wants to do? He wants you to trip over your future. God has a unique plan for your life, a unique plan for your future. But a plan is only as good as the person who's following it. You know, if you're building a home, you assign an architect to your home, he gives you these beautiful, elaborate plans, but you don't give them to the builder. Here's the deal. Your home's going to look a whole lot different to your plan. You know, God's got a plan for your life. God's got a plan for your life, Sam, but here's the deal. You've got to follow the plan that he has for your life. He hands us his plan. It's called the Word of God. It's up to me. It's up to you if you follow that plan. And people get to the end of their life and say, "Well, look at my life. It's a mess. It's not what I was promised." He said, "But you didn't follow the plan." Does that mean, John, if I give into temptation, my life is over? Absolutely not. But it will take you longer to get where God wants you. Because the grace of God is far bigger, Eli, it's far bigger than your greatest failure. If you're watching today, the grace of God is bigger than your greatest failure, which means today can be the start of getting your life back on track and back on the plans and the purposes for your life. God's grace will keep you, but obedience keeps your life moving forward. Obedient to the plans he has for you. My future is at stake with the tripwire of temptation. Number two, other people's futures. Not just mine, it's other people's future. Those around us have the ability, the potential to suffer every time that we trip over and we're tempted. To those who are watching today, dads and mums, your spouses, your children, some of you today, you came from a home where dad walked out because he couldn't see past the small temptation. And we know the way it has affected you. Employers, you think about the bank bonuses that were handed out in 2007, 2008 after the GFC crisis and the greed that affected our world. And their greed affected everyone around us. Why? Because the tripwire of temptation, it doesn't just affect our future, it affects the future of those around us. Think about pastors and leaders who've given in to temptation, the catastrophic results of that. The choices we make today affect the generations of tomorrow. The choices we are making right now today. Matthew chapter 4, Jesus is led up into the wilderness by the devil and he was tempted right then and there. The whole future of the world is at stake as the enemy presents those three tripwires. My future. Other people's future. The third thing that's at stake when we're faced with the tripwire of temptation is this: my faith. My faith. I've met so many people who I went to Bible school with grew up in church with and they're no longer serving God. Why? Because they tripped over. Now we've identified what's at stake. Let's look at the life of Jesus and see how he overcame these tripwires. Because this is this incredible story in Matthew chapter 4. And Jesus, the devil tries to trip him over three times. Three times he responds. And these three responses can actually help us as we navigate tripwires in our life. Matthew chapter 4 says, Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the enemy. For 40 days and 40 nights he fasted. Who knows, that's a long time. 40 minutes is a long time without food, let alone 40 days. During that time, the devil came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread. But Jesus told him, no, the scriptures say, people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. There's three ways that we fight temptation. Number one is we fight temptation with the Spirit. It says Jesus was led up by the Spirit. He was not led up by his flesh. He was led up by the Spirit. The battle is won in life when the Spirit beats the flesh. Each morning, there are two Johns and two Steves and two Chantels and two Katies and two Lees and two Nayers and two Elis and two Lydias that can get out of bed. There is the fleshly John and there is the Spirit-filled, life-giving John. There's two of us. The flesh, John, my wife could come up and share this better than anyone, is miserable, downcast, lazy. She's shouting them back at me. Agitated, grumpy, sinful. She's going like this. She'll get her own back at sisterhood. And then there's the Spirit, John, which is described in Galatians, which is love and joy and peace. Long-suffering and kind and good and faithful and gentle and self-controlled. And the battle is won when the Spirit beats the flesh. Because you've got to beat temptation before you meet temptation. Jesus was led up by the Spirit even before he was tempted. He was in the Spirit. And if we live according to our flesh, here's what happens. There is consequences. It leads to death. But the Spirit gives life. You know, being filled with the Spirit, it's not a one-off occurrence. You know, growing up, I thought it was just one thing. Being Spirit filled with the Spirit is a daily occurrence. Daily filled with the Spirit. It's an ongoing. You can be in the bathroom, in the shower. You can be in the hallway. You can and say, Holy Spirit, fill me afresh right now. Because I don't want to trip over into temptation. James 4:7 says, resist the enemy. Resist him and he will flee. How do we work on defeating our flesh? How do we work on it? Here's the deal. Not by trying to overcome the flesh, but by building up the Spirit. By building up the Spirit. Don't start working on your weaknesses. Work on his strength. So instead of going, oh, I can't do it, I'm not good enough, I'm not able to accomplish it, I keep eating. No, build your spirit up. Because when you build your spirit up, here's what happens to your flesh. It dies. When we fill our spirit up, we're becoming Christ conscious, not sin conscious. Here's what the enemy wants us to do. He wants us to be sin conscious. We're looking to trip up all the time and follow. But God says, no, take your eyes off the tripwire. Take your eyes off your mistakes, your shame, your sin, your guilt. And lift up your eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh your help? Your help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. We can't flirt with it. We've got to flee from it. We've got to build our spirit up. Number two, we've got to fight temptation. Number one, with the Spirit. Number two, we've got to fight temptation with godly character. Let's just backtrack a little bit into Jesus' life. This is way before. This is 15 plus years before. He went up into the wilderness to be tempted. Tripwire set before him. It says in Luke chapter 1, it says, and the child grew and became strong in character and lived in the desert till the time came for him to appear publicly in Israel. They're called the silent years of Jesus. 15 years, anonymous. In the desert, what was he doing? He was learning his character, learning a trade. Right now, I don't know where you're at, but God wants to build your character. Jesus was able to overcome. He was able to overcome the tripwires in his life because he built up character in his early years. You know, temptation first displays itself as split-second thoughts. There's split-second thoughts that, you know, they just come as a thought. Why don't you look at that on the internet? Why don't you eat that? Why don't you buy that? Why don't you do this? Temptation, it presents itself as a thought. It's a split-second thought. And we have a decision in that minute. But here's the deal. If you have character, it gives you the strength to say no. But if you have not built up character in your life, here's the struggle. When that thought comes, it becomes something greater. You see, what the eye sees, the mind conceives, and the body will act upon. And this is where you've got to go, okay, I've got to have some strength of character. And I want to speak to every young person in their teenage years, young adults right now. This is why I've got these youngsters up on stage. Because these are the years where I can't get too close, 2 meters. God is building your character. And he is building your character in this season, not because he wants to hurt you, punish you, because he is strengthening you for the tripwires the enemy might lay ahead of you in the future. The weapons we fight are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, we have divine power to demolish strongholds. 2 Corinthians 10. We demolish arguments and every petition that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought. How do you do that? By building up your spirit and building godly character. It takes character. In the Antarctic, Eskimos use an old hunting trick to catch wolves. I tried this recently. They dip a sharp knife into blood until it freezes. They repeat it many times. And the wolf comes along. It's like an ice lolly. The wolf comes along, sniffs it, tastes it. It gets into a frenzy. And then it slits his tongue and dies in its own blood. Get this, if you take away nothing from this, get this. Sin looks tempting, it smells tempting, but it'll eventually kill you. It will. We got to be a man and woman of godly character. We have the power within us to help us overcome every temptation known to man. God allows us to feel the cravings of temptation because he allowed his own son Jesus to feel the same. But he allowed it to build our character and also to be able to say no. You know, there's something really rewarding about saying no. There's something really rewarding about saying no. Not in the moment, but later. Why don't you start by saying no to something this week? Maybe it's no to that second glass of wine. Maybe it's no to that online betting company that you've been visiting that your partner doesn't know about. Maybe it's no to that website. Why don't you start with something small and allow your character to begin to build? I heard this said a while ago. It says, when you grow your no, God will bless your yes. God wants you to grow the no in your life. Have the ability to be able to say no. Charles Spurgeon, the famous Baptist preacher, he was asked, he said, how do you overcome temptation, Charles? He wrote this. He said, what settings are you in when you fall? Avoid them. What props do you have that support your sin? Eliminate them. What people are you usually with? Lose them. Building godly character. This isn't a message what people want to hear anymore, but this is a message that can potentially save your life. Because tripwires, the enemy is going to place tripwires in your life to try and trip you up and stop the plans and the purposes and the call of God on your life. You fight temptation with the Spirit of God. You fight temptation by building character. Number three, you fight temptation with the Word of God. Matthew chapter 4. Jesus is in the wilderness with the enemy, and this is what Jesus said. He says, "It is written." It is written. How does Jesus throw off Satan's test, the tripwire he sits in front of him? He fights off the tempter by hurling back at him the word of God. It is written. He says, "Man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes out of the mouth of God." He was quoting Moses from the book of Deuteronomy. Some of us see the Bible as just a fuzzy, warm-hearted book to encourage us and make us feel good. And it is. It's all of that. But it's a lot more. It's actually a weapon against temptation. It is written. It makes Satan mad when you say those words. It is written, I am a child of God. It is written, I am more than a conqueror. It is written. Say those words when you're faced with temptation. Say them under your breath. It is written, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. It makes the enemy mad. You know, verse 11, it says, and then the devil left him. You know, when you're on the verge of tripping into temptation, speak the word of God. Sin shall no longer have dominion over me. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am free from the law of sin and death. Famous story, the famous evangelist D.L. Moody in the 1800s. He held up a glass of water. And he asked, how can I get the air out of this glass? How can I get it out? One man shouted, suck it out with a pump. Moody replied, that would create a vacuum and shatter the glass. After numerous other suggestions, Moody smiled. He picked up a pitcher of water and he filled the glass. And he said, now all the air is removed. Victory over temptation isn't about trying to suck and remove all the sin and the mistakes and the shame out of our lives. Victory over temptation is about filling your life with the Spirit, with the Word of God. That's how we overcome the tripwires the enemy sends our way. Let's remember today. Why don't we stop wherever you are right now and pause and think. First of all, there's always more at stake than we think there is. There's our future. There's other people's futures. And there's our faith. And then when we face these tripwires, and they will come, we defeat them by the Spirit of God. We defeat them by the character of God. And we defeat them by the Word of God. We might be tempted, but we will not be defeated. Let me pray. Father God, I thank you for your word. I thank you that you gave us a blueprint in that story. In overcoming, defeating temptation. I pray for every person right now who's watching, who's struggling in this area. I pray right now that they wouldn't feel condemned, Lord, that they would feel loved, because you are their Father and you love them and you want to help them. And I thank you, Father, today, tomorrow is a new day and your grace is towards us. I pray that you'd help us, Father God, with every battle, every temptation, every tripwire that we face. As we face it, God, you'd give us the strength to ask the Holy Spirit for help. In fact, I pray right now, Holy Spirit, come into people's hearts, into people's minds, those who are struggling, those who are facing temptation, even as I speak, Lord, those who are facing temptation in their marriages, on the internet, Father God, in the kitchen, wherever it is the temptation comes, I pray right now, Holy Spirit, come. I pray that we will hear story and testimony from people, Father God, that today was a new day. That we wouldn't try and change ourselves, but we'd allow your Holy Spirit to change us. And we would declare the word of God. It is written, sin shall not have dominion over us. God, our desire is to be more like Jesus. So help us. Help us in that pursuit. Lord, I pray even for people right now who are watching. I pray that you'd give them the courage to reach out. Whether it's sending an email at info@soulchurch.com and dropping us a comment to say, hey, I need help with this area, so we can pray and support. I pray that no one would feel alone right now. That your Spirit would bring comfort into every family, into every home. In Jesus' name. Feel right now that someone is battling really, really tough with alcohol. And it started since lockdown and you haven't been able to stop drinking. I want you to know that you're loved right now. I also want you to know that the Holy Spirit is going to give you the strength to get through this. I want you to take some bold steps and some courageous steps. It could mean getting rid of it. It could mean not associating with certain people who are pulling you into that, but I want you to know that you're going to come out of this through the help of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Well, I hope you received the word tonight. And next week, we'll be on another tripwire. And you're going to love next week. I'm not going to tell you what it is, but there's a real treat in store for you next week with this series. So I hope it's a series that's going to help you. This is our chapel midweek series, Tripwires, and I know some of these things are going to really help you take steps forward, not backwards, in your life.
Thanks again for tuning in. And if you said the salvation prayer today, we'd love for you to email connecttofaith@soulchurch.com so we can talk to you a little bit more about this incredible decision that you've just made.
Yeah, you know, and if at any point in the service you felt moved to give towards any of our local or global initiatives, then head to soulchurch.com and click on the giving at the top of the page.
Thanks again for joining us today, and we hope to see you again soon. God bless.